This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
TFA fam, we are officially a week away from the NFL draft. This time next week, we'll be first round. We'll be almost over with. Yeah. Well, that's true. But I'm looking forward to it. I think there are so many prospects, especially at the wide receiver position, that I'm really itching to see where they land. I think I feel okay, but I think we feel pretty confident with some of the quarterbacks and where they're going to end up. But I just think this has been one of the more interesting, drafts to kind of look at and break down. I don't know if I can remember this many wide receivers where I'm just like, I could see this guy going, day two, day three, or late day two. So I'm really looking forward to this one. So we just kind of wanted to do sort of an overview with the draft coming up. We probably won't do anything next week with, the draft. There's not much left to talk about. We'll do a post-draft breakdown, obviously, once we get the landing spots. But so we just kind of want to give our final thoughts on this draft class and where we stand on it. So that being said, I mean, I think the quarterback position, I think we can just kind of start there. It feels like it's still pretty – I mean, I think it's pretty a guaranteed lock. Obviously, Caleb Williams is going to go one. But there seems to be some consensus here that, at least in the betting markets I was seeing today, that it's kind of split between Jaden Daniels and Drake May on who's going to go to, which seemed kind of crazy because not so long ago it felt like Jaden Daniels was a lock. But I don't know. Have you seen some of that?
Yeah, so that was – it was Drake May early on was the favorite to go number two, and then Jaden Daniels got steamed up, and he kind of seemed like he was locked in at that two spot for quite a while. And now over the past 2 days, it has now flipped, and now it is on DraftKings anyway. Daniels and Drake May are both at -115 to be the number two pick. I did take – whenever Jaden Daniels became the favorite and he was starting to get buzzed up early on, I did take Drake May at like +130, I think, to be the number two pick. Should have waited because I think that went all the way up to like +200 or longer on some sports books. But now that has come down, like I said, all the way to -115. That's where they are both sitting. So it's going to be really interesting. That's, you were talking about wanting to see where some of these things play out with the wide receivers. I think the quarterbacks are super, super interesting to see where those top three go, to see where McCarthy goes. Kind of seems like there might be some momentum for him to not be a top five pick now. If you're looking at his draft position, that number is over five and as sitting at 5.5 rather. And that was pretty heavy to the under. And now that's starting to come back up a little bit as well. So still a lot to figure out here, and then kind of seeing where the if there are any other of those quarterbacks to go either between Knicks and Penix as well. So really going to be really interesting next week to see where this all finally pans out.
Yeah, I mean, fantasy purposes, I think Jaden Daniels is the logical, obviously easy choice. And then if you look just between the landing spot, like I would probably prefer him to go to Washington than I would rather see him go to New England, just with terms of weapons that he has there in that situation. So I think for me, when I look at Jaden Daniels, I just think he makes the most logical sense there with his rushing upside. JJ McCarthy, I go back and forth. Like, he feels very much like a
Patriot.
Yeah. Like, is this like Mac Jones 2.0? I don't know. Like, there's very little to go off of in terms of, his production. But even past that, like, do you think one of these quarterbacks, like Bo Nix or Michael Penix or both, could go in the first round?
It seems like that has started to change as well, especially with Penix. I want to see if – so on DraftKings, his line is sitting at 32.5. I know that's where Nix had been. Let me see if his is still – yeah, Nix is also at 32.5, and he was favored on the under for a little bit. And looking at it now – at over 32.5, that has been gassed all the way to -230. For Penix to go under 32.5, that is now favored at -145. I don't get it. I don't think either of those quarterbacks are round one prospects. I think, Penix obviously had the massive production the past year at Washington, but we're talking about a, 23, 24-year-old quarterback who's had major injuries in his career. And then Bo Nix kind of just feels like he was a product of the Oregon system, right? I get it from the standpoint of wanting to move up so you have that fifth year of control on the player, but I just don't think that either of them are worth it. I think we see them go at the top of round two, but all it takes is one team that, starts to get paranoid that there's another team that might take him, and they move up and they end up taking him. So I think, let me see here. What's quarterbacks? So on DraftKings, total quarterbacks selected in the first round, line is at 4.5. The over 4.5 is at -200.
I mean, I think it's going to come down to kind of how things play out, because I still feel like there's a decent shot that one of these teams, whether it's the Vikings, the Raiders, the Broncos, decide to move up, and get, somebody like JJ McCarthy. Because if they do, these are three teams that definitely need a quarterback. And I don't know right now, like, how these, especially because, you have basically retread quarterbacks here for all three of these teams. And they seem like the most logical fit to want to move back up, especially at the back half of the first, where a lot of these teams, a team like the Chiefs or a team that, if they can't get, what they're looking for, the Lions have been rumored as a team that can look to move back, where one of these teams could come back up to try to get a quarterback. Because I don't think it's necessarily bad for us, especially if you're taking with the back half of the first to get a quarterback. Because, Bo Nix has been somebody that has produced at in his career at other places. It wasn't just Oregon. So I know he's a little bit of an older prospect, but still, I wouldn't be shocked if one of these guys moved back up. But if another team moves back up to grab a quarterback just because of the position, there's a lot of positional need here at this position. I mean, remember last year how horrible it was, all these backup quarterbacks we were seeing due to all the quarterback injuries last year. So I really wouldn't be surprised. But anyways, I didn't want to spend a lot of time talking about quarterbacks. I do want to ask you, though, there's been some debate lately about Caleb Williams. What do you think the likelihood of is that, do you think that he is going to be a generational quarterback? Or because I think I don't think that he's a generational type talent. I think that he could end up being a very good quarterback. I think he is going into a great situation. Like, of all the rookie quarterbacks you can think of, to say that, he is entering a situation where it's going to be really hard for him necessarily to fail. I mean, you're going to have Keenan Allen there. You're going to have DJ Moore. I mean, they had, Cole Kmet is a decent tight end. Like, they have weapons in there, and they also have that second first round pick where if they could, you know, take another wide receiver, they could also go, you know, maybe trade up a couple of picks there if they wanted to and get a left tackle or something like that to really solidify that offensive line. And so he enters a situation that's really good, but there's also obviously the red flags with him and some other situation with him. But I don't know if I would, a lot of people, you know, do you think that he's like a generational type talent?
I don't think he's generational, no, but I do think he is going to be a very good quarterback in the league, like you said, especially entering the situation. The only thing that could potentially derail that is if, you know, the Bears do what the Bears do and just continually cycle through head coaches and OCs. Like, that would be the one thing where I think you could look at, you know, say 7 years down the road, and we say, like, man, what happened with Caleb Williams? Oh, well, he had five different OCs in his, you know, I mean, his first 6 years. So I think that could be the one thing that could potentially derail it. But I'm not on board with, you know, with all the people that are trying to drag him for the crying and the fingernail painting. And like, I genuinely don't give a shit about that. I think if you watch this dude, you know, there's a reason why he pushed Spencer Rattler out of Oklahoma. There's a reason why he's been tabbed as the number one quarterback in this class for three straight years now. Generational, no. I think, you know, maybe he was potentially on that path early on, you know, his freshman, sophomore year. But I still think he's going to be really good. I think he can do everything. He can play in structure, out of structure, from the pocket. You know, he's obviously he's mobile enough. So I think he's entering a really good situation.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, let's move off the quarterbacks. I think they're the least exciting thing to talk about when it comes to anything fantasy football related. So let's move over to the running backs. And while there's not a lot of excitement here with this with this group, I do think that there is potential here to be some solid, you know, maybe RB2s. I don't know if there's going to be a locked in RB1 from this group, but as of right now, it still looks like, you know, when you look at like NFL mock draft database, at least the consensus big boards, Jonathan Brooks still looks like the number one off the board, right behind Trey Benson and then Blake Corum. I can say for me, where I have kind of went through earlier this week and updated a lot of my rookie rankings I have, and I didn't really need to make a whole lot of changes to the running backs. I'm still not high on Blake Corum. I'm not excited. I don't really see the hype with Blake Corum at all. Maybe some of it too is just the, you know, he was coming off a, you know, an injury and stuff like that, but he's just never been explosive in his career. He feels very much just like a grinder. Like, there's just not a lot of excitement that I have for him. And I've seen some people that have him as their RB1. I can't get there. I still have him like RB5, RB6. I would so much rather take Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, Marshawn Lloyd, and Jalen Wright. I think all of those dudes have the potential to have a decent ceiling. I just can't get on board with Blake Corum. He just does nothing for me.
I think in this class, when you look at all these guys and like no one – there's none of these running backs have like where you look at, you're like, oh, okay, he like feel really good about him. Like, everyone has their holes. There's not someone that really stands out above the rest. Like, you can make a case for a bunch of guys that won. So I think Corum is like the safest, but I do agree that he probably doesn't have the highest ceiling here out of this class. I have Brooks at one for me. I have Marshawn Lloyd at two. Jalen Wright is at three. I have Corum at four and then Benson at five. I'm a little bit lower on Benson. I think he is way more athlete than he is running back. You know, if he's able to land in the right situation where he can have a good offensive line, good offensive coordinator, I think he could be obviously very fantasy relevant, but I just have some questions as far as like, he kind of reminds me of like Marlon Mack, in a sense, where he just bouncing a bunch of stuff outside, kind of living off of the long plays, kind of Kenneth Walker and that sort of sense. But I don't think that he was as good as Kenneth Walker coming out. So I'm a little bit lower on Benson. Looking at DraftKings and FanDuel right now, on FanDuel, Benson and Brooks are both tied at plus 210 to be the first running back taken. And then on DraftKings, Brooks has jumped ahead of Benson, and he's sitting at plus 125, and Benson is at plus 180.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are projecting the Jonathan Brooks to go to the Cowboys. Obviously, the Cowboys do have a need there. I know they brought in Royce Freeman, but that doesn't do anything for anybody there. But they are kind of the one team that has a huge hole at the running back position with losing Tony Pollard. And so I would love Jonathan Brooks to go to the Cowboys. Yeah, I know there's been reports out there that he should be good to go, even possibly by mini camp. He definitely should be good to go by training camp with Jonathan Brooks. And we have started to see a little bit of a turn, you know, as long as, you know, it wasn't his injury wasn't like a Javonte Williams, like devastating type knee injury or anything like that. It was a little bit more straightforward. So, I mean, Jonathan Brooks, in terms of just everything else he brings to the table, is what I think that I have. He's my RB1. You know, obviously doesn't have the huge tradition of or huge track record of production, but in only 10 games last year, he still almost rushed for 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, or 11 touchdowns, excuse me. Also added in 25 catches or 286 yards. He was 29th in yards after contact per attempt, 23rd missed tackles forced per attempt, 16 carries of 15 plus yards, which was top 25. So there's a lot to like here with Jonathan Brooks, and I would love it, you know, if he goes to a system like that. If he were to go to Dallas, I think it would easily make him, you know, the top running back here, just because of the potential and the opportunity that would lay before him, because there's nobody else there on that depth chart that we're even worried about. Jalen Wright, I think, is the other one that is I'm really, you know, encouraged by. I mean, is athletically phenomenal. 8th in yards after contact per attempt, 38th in yards per out run, 34th in missed tackles forced per attempt. Everything you can like for a running back, a super explosive guy. Still only 20 years old. He's also on the younger side, same as Jonathan Brooks. So I think those two are kind of the ones that really stand out to me. I think Marshawn Lloyd, there's some question marks with him and ball security and stuff like that. He tend to fumble. That's something he's going to have to clean up. But past those four, for me, I think then you go into a spot where it's a lot of role-dependent type running backs who are just going to be part of a committee. Guys like Audric Estime, who you're probably going to be looking at, you know, somebody that short intermediate or the short first, second down type grinder, you know, goal line type back because of his size. Though I will say that I know he gets knocked, and everybody has knocked him because of his 40 time. Though I guess at his pro day he ran faster. He still was 5th in carries of 15 plus yards. Like, so he has that short burst, 87th percentile burst. He's produced 2 years in a row at Notre Dame, 1,300 yards last year, 18 touchdowns. Like, he sort of feels a little bit like, why am I not? His name was just there. The running back, Tyler Allgeier, is who he kind of reminds me of. You know, kind of that little bit bigger, you know, athlete, something. I think he could carve himself out if he lands in the right spot at a role to be like a Tyler Allgeier type situation. So I think the Audric Estime hate has gone a little too far. But then again, you also have somebody like Braylon Allen, who even heading into this year, a lot of people were hyping up, and he just hasn't really hit the mark. It's weird with Braylon Allen. He plays like a small running back. He does not – somebody who takes on contact well. He almost tries to avoid it. It's kind of odd, but, you know, that's where he should be playing. That's just not the way that he plays.
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to the Cowboys real quick since you were mentioning them. Looks like that they have had 45 players in for some sort of visit between Combine, Pro Day, you know, one of the 30 visits that the team have. 9 of those have been running back. So they have met with Braylon Allen twice, Jonathan Brooks twice, Trey Benson twice, Estime, Bucky Irving, Amani Bailey, Jace McClellan, Rasheen Ali, and Tyrone Tracy Jr. So I feel like that is a safe bet for one of these running backs to land there. I agree. I would love Jonathan Brooks to go there. And I think if that happens, you're looking at him moving up into like the back end of round one rookie drafts and super flex leagues.
Yeah. Because I don't, I mean, no running back going in the first. And I wouldn't be shocked if no running back goes in the second. I think the best bet would be like someone like the Cowboys, who I think they pick 56th in the second round. So back half of the second round, I think, is your best bet for a running back to go. I don't think we're going to see an early, you know, day two running back. I just don't think that's going to happen. So this class, I think there is usable pieces here. I just don't think there's that elite. You know, there's not obviously a Bijan Robinson in this class, but I do think if Jonathan Brooks was healthy, I think he would be a little bit more hyped. But because of the injury, it just really kind of taken the luster off of him. There's definitely red flags with all of these guys that may cause them not to hit their ceiling. But I still think there's like the big four for me that I'm, depending on where they land, I'm most excited about. So, other than that, are there any like later round guys that you're excited about?
I'm still in the Bucky Irvin camp, so I'm curious to see what kind of capital he gets and where he lands. I've made this, you know, comparison before, but he is very much like a Devin Singletary, Kyren Williams type to me, where you watch him, really good player, small, tested like complete ass, and then they end up being they end up being decent enough for fantasy purposes. Obviously, Kyren Williams had a huge year last year, but Devin Singletary also had himself a really nice year last year as well. Had some okay production, obviously splitting time in Buffalo. But outside of that, I think Ray Davis is somebody that I like. Rasheen Ali is someone that I like as well. And I think Ali would be talked about a little bit more if he didn't get banged up and hurt at the Senior Bowl. And that also kept him out of any type of combine testing. But Ali is someone who I would definitely be keeping an eye on. Curious to see where he lands. He's not going to get great draft capital, so you're not going to have to worry about spending a second, third round pick on him in your dynasty rookie drafts. But I think if you want to take a flyer on someone like that, assuming that he gets some type of capital, Rasheen Ali is someone that I'm kind of really interested in seeing what happens with him on day three and like where he ends up going.
Yeah. He has been somebody that's kind of gotten quite a bit of buzz, especially as things have gone on. So he is somebody that I definitely think you could also, Will Shipley, Dylan Lobby, I think is another one that people have talked about as possibly kind of a late round option. Kamani Vidal is still somebody that I really like as well. Kamani Vidal feels a little bit like a little bit Tajay Spears-ish last year, who I could see, people liking later on a lot more. Productive running back, especially the last 2 years, 5'8", 213 pounds. He is 22 years old, came from Troy, but had a really solid 40, really good vert, 87th percentile speed score, 70th percentile burst. Like I said, productive, ran for 1,600 yards, 15 touchdowns last year. The reception numbers are there, 26, 22, 26, and 18 through his college career as well. So he's another player that I really like. He's a little bit more of a later round pick that I think could really be a slam dunk if he goes to the right spot. So that being said, let's move over to the bread and butter, the one position that everybody's excited about, one that everybody wants to talk about, wide receiver. So right now, locked in, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunsey, top 10 pick, slam dunk. I would be floored if one of them didn't go in the top, if one, not all of them didn't go in the top 10. Depending on landing spot, like right now, the projection for off mock draft database has the Cardinals taking Harrison, Chargers going Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunsey going to, like, one spot, I don't, like, that's the, like, the one place I don't want one of these guys to go, just because I'm not, like, I don't even know what's going on. Did you see that video the other day of Daniel Jones? Like his eyes were all bugging out and everything at a press conference. I'm like, die. Like, it was weird. But anyway, I think right now, like, Marvin Harrison is, if he goes to the Cardinals, it's over. Like, slam dunk. Like, just, like, I think that's, even though, like, Malik Nabers going to the Chargers, would be phenomenal, obviously, because Justin Herbert has no other weapons there. But like, I don't know, do they take him? Will they do that? Is that something that Harbaugh will do and take a wide receiver that early? I don't know. I feel like they should, but who knows what they're going to do there. But those three are just slam dunk easy. I think they're just fantastic prospects. Right. So I don't think we need to go through that. Anything you've listened to have already told you that. Let's move on from here, because I think I'm just going to grab somebody that I've been wanting to talk to you about that I don't feel like we've really talked about, but it's starting to get a little bit of a buzz about him, and that's Jermaine Burton. If you look at Jermaine Burton's prospect profile, yeah, he profiles as like a first round pick, like, or a high end wide receiver, or a second round pick at the worst. But the off field stuff may end up causing him that not to happen. He's played at six schools over the last 8 years. Like, he's just jumped from school to school, even going back to high school. There's been issues there. There's been some NFL insider stuff with him that have come out that, you know, some teams have taken him off their board, that coaches don't really care for him. That's why he's jumped around. But everything else is there, because, I mean, he looks like a very good prospect, but it's hard to fall in love with him depending on how far he falls. But what are your thoughts on him?
So hard, man. Like you said, with all of the – and that's the thing that, like, we don't see. Like you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that makes, like, projecting these guys so, so difficult. Like you said, if you watch him play, he can play. Dude's a baller. Obviously, a highly touted prospect. You know, even like you mentioned with jumping around in high schools. You know, he played at Georgia and Bama. Right, like it doesn't get much bigger than that. Like, a lot of times you see these guys, when, you know, if they transfer out from a big program, we tend to not hear from them again. You know, Alabama just a couple years ago, I remember, because I spent a lot of fab money on Ja'Cory Brooks, and there was like four Alabama wide receivers that year, and like everyone was just absolutely drooling over all these kids. And now I can't even remember the other names that were coming in. I think one transferred to like Texas, I want to say, and then we haven't heard from him again. He transferred early on, but that's with all this stuff coming out. You know, where I think where there's smoke, there's fire. You mentioned, like I said, the six schools in 8 years, even going back to high school. There has to be something to that, right? So I think for me, he's going to be someone for dynasty purposes that I'm not going to want to spend a bunch of capital. But if he falls to the right landing spot, if he gets decent enough draft capital, and then he kind of slips in rookie drafts, he's not someone that I'm going to want to load up on, but I do want to get like a share or two just because of the what if. Like, what if he figures it out? What if he puts it together? What if, you know, he lands with a coach who can kind of, you know, rein him in, that sort of thing. But on the field, baller, off the field, who knows? You know what I mean? Like, we have – there's so many of these reports that come out too. Like the one that comes immediately to my mind is the, you know, the CJ Stroud and what was it, the S2 test – or something from last year, and everyone was just crucifying him. No one knew what the S2 test was beforehand, but when it came out that he had a bad one, all of a sudden everybody was an expert on the S2 test, and then we saw what happened with CJ Stroud this year, right? So I think if he lands, like I said, in the right situation, he could be someone that we look back on, and everyone's like, man, you know, really missed on this guy, but someone I'm going to want a share or two, but definitely not going to want to load up on him.
Yeah. I think I completely agree. I think it's going to be landing spot dependent where he goes. I definitely think there's a somebody could hit a home run with him. And
yeah,
but there is that off-field stuff that I think will stand out. Now, did you see Peter Schrager's latest or first mock draft? And it's with him, I know it's easy to a lot of people just kind of laugh at it, whatever, but like his is all from all the information from insiders that he gets. Like he is pretty accurate. And I was not happy when I saw it either. Because he has Jalen Polk going to the Chiefs in the first round. And I was like, if the Chiefs take Jalen Polk.
Oh, wow. I did not see that.
I'm going to be big mad. And just because like I think the Chiefs could use another wide receiver. Like I'm not worried about the Rashee Rice thing. But like I still think they could use another wide receiver. I mean, Hollywood Brown's been on a 1-year deal. I don't think they signed him to a long-term deal or anything like that. So like, but I'm just like, there's so many other wide receivers they could take instead of Jalen Polk. But like you have to take it like it's very similar to the Daniel Jeremiah a few years ago, whenever we had the Tutu Atwell, whenever he was projecting him really high and everyone was kind of laughing at him, making fun of the guy. And then what happened? Tutu Atwell went really high and went to the second round way earlier than anybody else was expecting. And so guys like these insiders put this out, you have to listen, but I would be really upset if Jalen Polk, who I don't think is a bad player. Like, don't get me wrong. I just don't think he's the guy that I would be taking in the first round, because I think right now, I think past those top three, I think Brian Thomas, A.D. Mitchell, and probably Xavier Worthy are probably the other three first round wide receivers, right?
Yeah, I was just looking at it. I don't have the odds on me, but I was just looking, and the line is set at 6.5 first round wide receivers, and it is heavily juiced to the under on 6.5.
Yeah, and I mean, I can say for me, like for my my wide receiver rookie rankings that I have updated those, and they've changed a little bit. Top three are the top three. And then I have Ladd McConkey at 4. I have A.D. Mitchell at 5. Xavier Worthy at 6. And then Brian Thomas at 7. But that's kind of a tier of themselves. Like, I could probably move them around and feel okay about it for me. And then I think there's the rest after those guys. But there's so much projection with this class, even with the wide receivers that we really like. Like, A.D. Mitchell, Brian Thomas, right? Both of those guys, athletic freaks, tested really, really well. But they don't really have the production that some of these other guys, the year-over-year production that you kind of look for with some of these guys who just kind of had the 1 year of really big production with these guys. A.D. Mitchell ran the 4.3 blazing 40, especially at 6'2", 205, 39.5-inch vert, 11.4 broad, like everything you'd love to see. But did absolutely nothing prior to 2023, where he had 845 yards and 11 touchdowns. And then same with Brian Thomas. Like, Brian Thomas is the same way, but the athleticism is 100% there. I mean, even Brian Thomas was even more impressive with the 4.33 40 at 6'3", 209 pounds. But again, doesn't have the production. Before 2023, he had 361 receiving yards and 359 receiving yards before that. 68 catches in 2023, 1,200 yards, 17 touchdowns, playing with Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers. But they don't have that long history of production, but you know, you have the athleticism and everything else that you look for with those guys. But does somebody like A.D. Mitchell or Brian Thomas, are they just MVSs, guys who run really fast, but maybe aren't able to progress further than that?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I have Thomas at 4, personally. I think, like you said, as lauded as this wide receiver class is, there are 100% going to be some landmines here. The top three, like you said, the top three, feel really good about them. And then after that, you can start poking holes in a lot of these guys. I do prefer Brian Thomas to Adonai Mitchell. Both of them had the 1 year of production, like you said. But I see a little bit more from watching Brian Thomas and just more consistent, you know, in the year of production than he had compared to somebody like Adonai Mitchell. Now, I know a lot of people are trying to drag Quinn Ewers when they bring this up and, you know, talking about how a lot of Mitchell's targets, even, you know, Xavier Worthy, were not the best. But I think that with Thomas, I can project him a little bit easier and a little bit quicker, if that makes sense. But then, like you said, you started getting to a lot of these other guys, and let me see if Xavier Worthy has a. He does not. It's interesting. I'm trying to see if he had a line here on DraftKings. I'm not sure.
The mock draft database, the big board, consensus big board, if they were, compiles all the mock drafts together, has him, Xavier Worthy, at 34. So.
Okay, FanDuel has his line at 29.5, and it's pretty even on both sides, -122 on the over and -108 on the under. I think FanDuel does not have Adonai Mitchell, but DraftKings does, and that was at 27.5, if I'm remembering. Yeah, 27.5. Brian Thomas is at 17.5. I took his over last week. It was at 16.5 at plus money, and now that line has moved to 17.5, and the over is sitting at -160. So his line has moved around, not a lot in terms of position, but it's been bouncing around because after I took it at over 16.5, it moved down to 15.5, moved back up, and now it's at 17.5 and sitting at -160. So I still like Brian Thomas as wide receiver 4. I think he is getting pushed down because you have a lot of those teams. It's kind of in the middle there in this class. Obviously, you know, I don't think we're going to dive too deep into it, but a ton of offensive line talent, especially in this first round. I think that's pushing some of these guys around. So, yeah, but long way to say Brian Thomas is wide receiver 4 for me, and that's the guy that I would be putting my money on over Adonai Mitchell.
I mean, I think there's quite a few teams that even in the later rounds that they need a wide receiver. I mean, I think Buffalo definitely comes to mind as a team that who's picking at 28 that definitely need a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think the archetype wide receiver they could be looking for, because you have Curtis Samuel, you have
I think they need that big body.
Yeah, and so maybe I think where Brian Thomas or an A.D. Mitchell could make a lot of sense for them wouldn't shock me. But Xavier Worthy, I just think that when I look at him, like, I know he gets profiled and pigeoned as just a speed guy, right? That's all he's ever going to be, is just a go route runner. I don't see that with him. I think he's somebody that can do everything. No. yes, he has that the 4.21 40, but he also has, you know, 41 inch vert. But what worries you is the 165 pounds. Even though I think there's some room there for him to add some more muscle on at 5'11", I definitely think he could do that. But he is a 3-year producer. He has earned over 100 targets every single year that he was in college at Texas, and he's produced with them every single year. And so I just think there's a lot to like with Xavier Worthy. Like I said, I think if he goes to the right spot, I would love it if it was the Chiefs at 32. The Chiefs also need a left tackle, so it wouldn't surprise me if something like that happened. But I don't know if the left tackle value will be there at 32 for them to take him. I could also see the Chiefs trading back, but the Chiefs are another team that, like I've said, that could definitely use another wide receiver. Because I do think at the very least, Rashee Rice is going to get suspended. Maybe Baltimore could be another team looking for a wide receiver here. Like I said, Buffalo definitely is a team. Dallas could be another team in the first round looking for a wide receiver here. So there's quite a few spots here, I think, in the later half of the first as well that are going to need wide receiver help. And so when I'm looking at these wide receivers, like I said, like I really like Xavier Worthy. I did want to ask you, though, I think the two wide receivers that have been hurt the most so far through this process has been Troy Franklin and Keon Coleman. Where do you come in on them?
Keon Coleman, I'm a sucker for that big body wide receiver. We've talked about it a little bit. Everyone's crushing him for that 4.61, 4.64, 40 that he ran. But his 10-yard split is up there with some of the faster guys in this class. It was just everything from 10 yards and beyond is where, you know, he struggled. Obviously, that shows up in his tape a little bit too, with you know, with the inability to separate. But I still think that there is something there. I just don't know. I thought for sure, like if you would have asked me, you know, week two of the college season, where's Keon Coleman going? Like, where are you putting your money? You couldn't have gotten me off of him being a first round pick. Now, obviously, that has cooled off a ton. So I think that's going to be really landing spot dependent. I think he could be like a big body slot type of guy. But with someone like that, you don't ask them to run go routes. Like, if you get him on the right coaching staff that can utilize him in the right way, I still think he could be a solid asset to a team. Do I think that he's going to be super fantasy relevant? I don't. I think, you know, maybe you're looking at like a wide receiver 3 flex type of play, again, depending on landing spot. I do think you could have him be kind of like a jump ball, you know, red zone type of threat too. Maybe that's where some of his fantasy value comes in. And then for Troy Franklin, I think the big thing you worry about there is just his play strength. You see him get bodied a lot whenever he is running routes. But again, if you get him on the right, like if you put Troy Franklin on, you know, this feels so cliche to say, and I feel like this is becoming, you know, one of the new ones, like, oh, if you put this running back with Kyle Shanahan, he's going to be good. But I think if, you know, Troy Franklin day two, you put him on the Dolphins, not going to be great for fantasy purposes, but I think that'd be a spot where you can see someone, you know, like McDaniel, be able to move him around the formation, get him more free releases and free him up in the middle of the field. So, and I know people were also disappointed with the 40 he ran. It wasn't awful. I think everyone's just expecting him to run faster. And the gauntlet drill, don't give a shit. I don't care. Until the NFL changes the rules and they allow multiple quarterbacks on the field and they're running in a straight line across the field, then I'll care. Until then, does not matter to me. And then going back, speaking of the gauntlet drill, you know, Keon Coleman had one of the fastest times for that, you know, in terms of like his like on-field GPS tracking for the combine. So I just think with these guys, it's really going to be landing spot dependent. Really going to depend on the type of draft capital they get. But I do think that there are ways where we could see both of those guys be successful in the NFL.
Yeah, I saw somebody, I can't remember who it was, brought up. I thought it was maybe a good comp for Keon Coleman, which you brought up, the big body slot. Maybe it could be like a Michael Thomas type, which I don't hate that. Obviously, that's a, you know, at least for the short period of time that he was able to stay healthy, you know, would be a pretty high, you know, a place for him to land because how good he was for those few years. But I do think Troy Franklin, I don't quite understand all of the hate that he's gotten. He's produced 2 years in a row at Oregon. Yes, you can call Oregon whatever you want, but last year at 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns there for them. I mean, he's not a bad athlete. Yes, he ran a 4.41. Yeah. Like that's crazy. Like, I don't know where, like, why we tend to do this. Well, like, where, like that, like that's a bad time. Like, okay, like I don't understand. He's still 82nd percentile burst score, 87th percentile catch radius. Like, he 6'2", 176. Maybe he's on a little bit smaller size, but I mean, produced. I just don't get it. Like, there's people that just say that he's going to be terrible, and all. I don't quite get it with him either. Keon Coleman, I definitely think there's a little bit of reservation there for me in terms of where I have him ranked. I have Troy Franklin at 8, then I have Roman Wilson at 9, Malik Washington at 10. Had to be more realistic with Malik. Well, I know I still really like Malik Washington, but if he's not going to get that kind of draft capital, there's no reason to have him as high as I did. And then Ricky Pearsall, Javon Baker is top 12. And then past that, I have Keon Coleman at 13, Jermaine Burton at 14, which I would actually love to move Jermaine Burton further. I just don't know if he's going to get that kind of draft capital. That's the only thing that worries me when it comes to that. So, but I just – there's so many different landing spots in like certain types, right? Like Roman Wilson – Ricky Pearsall, they kind of look a little bit more as being more of your typical slot wide receivers here. And then you have other guys like Malachi Corley and Xavier Leggett. I don't like Xavier Leggett. Again, I'm not going to get fooled again by a South Carolina wide receiver. Like I got fooled by, was it Brian Edwards? Whatever can happen to Brian Edwards. We both got by Brian Edwards.
I'm ready to be hurt again. I'm in on Leggett. He's really, really interesting. Another one of these 1 year producers, but his 1 year production, like I know there's people trying to comp him to golly, who's the wide receiver the Panthers took? No, the wide receiver the Panthers took last year. Mingo, yeah. People are trying to comp him to Mingo. He had double the amount of yards from Mingo's best season. I think Leggett was averaging like 105 yards per game last year. I mean, you give me a dude with that size and that speed, I'm going to be interested. I don't care. I'll get sucked in again. For Brian Edwards, I feel like the last I heard he was on like the Falcons maybe, but I don't know where he went after that. And I also don't know. I don't know what went wrong. Real quick, Xavier Worthy to be selected by is a market on DraftKings. The Bills are leading the way at plus 350. I don't think that makes sense given what their room looks like right now. You're kind of touching on that at the beginning, Kev. But the Chiefs are second behind the Bills at plus 475. And then it is the Dolphins and then the Niners and the Panthers are tied at plus 1,000.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that. I would not. Again, I probably wouldn't be very happy about it. I don't know. And it's just, why did he not do anything? This good of an athlete, you know, 6'1", 221, 4.39, 98th percentile speed score, 89th percentile burst score, 90th percentile catch radius. Like, but he did absolutely nothing at all. Zero. Until he was 22 years old. And so, like, that, I don't know.
He was he was a quarterback in high school, both quarterback and, like, either running back or receiver or something like that. So he was not a true wide receiver coming out of high school. So I think that does have something to do with it. I can't remember exactly what it is, but I do know he has a kind of like a tragic background. I was seeing some mentions of it. I didn't read the full article, so I don't want to try and, you know, speak to that too much. But I do know he had a bunch going on. Obviously, at South Carolina, that was not a great quarterback situation until the past two seasons. And then I did hear, who was it? Maybe Josh Norris, I think, maybe. He was just talking about, like, if you go back and you try and watch some of his stuff last year, he was having a lot of issues with drops. So, like, that could have been a reason why he wasn't getting involved last year. And obviously that completely changed this year, and the dude just absolutely balled out. So, like we were saying, like, past the top three, poke a bunch of holes in one way or another, and the rest of these wide receivers, everyone's pumping up Ladd McConkey, also not great production. I know if you look at him on a per route basis, it's obviously a lot better, but a lot of these guys were not big time producers. So, Leggett, I'm gonna buy in. Don't care. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me.
I will say what he has going for him. If people never heard him talk, just go search for him. Talk.
Yes,
it is phenomenal.
I moved him on my rankings right after that.
Yeah, his accent is awesome. I absolutely loved it when I heard it.
Yeah,
that was fantastic. So. Past that, we kind of talked about some of these other guys, but Malik Washington, I really hope he lands in a good spot. I just love Malik Washington. He hasn't really gotten any of the buzz that I was hoping for. I was hoping maybe he was going to fly up some, maybe be like a Jaden Reed type guy who would fly up at the end. It just didn't seem to happen, but still very productive wide receiver at Virginia last year. 5'8", 191. I mean, he plays way more like Deebo Samuel than, just if you watch him, dude just runs through people, like has no problem taking on contact. 110 catches, 1,400 yards last year, 9 touchdowns. Was also 12th in yards per route run. He led all wide receivers in yards after contact per reception last year. Just 11 contested catches, does a great job getting quick separation, really good route runner. So, but looks like he's probably going to be a late third round pick or somewhere in the third round. So, not going to go as high as I was hoping, but still, if he goes to the right spot, I'm going to be right back in. Just mark my words. So I think Malik Washington's a really good wide receiver. And then another one, what are your thoughts on Javon Baker? That's what I want to talk about. Another, really good yards after the catch guy.
I will be honest, I have not gotten eyes on Baker yet, but he seems to be like everyone's favorite sleeper. Like he's been someone that I feel like you can't like open Twitter or listen to a draft podcast without somebody at some point hyping up Javon Baker. So he seems like he's been the guy who's getting a bunch of love. But like I said, I have not gotten eyes on him, but I do know that he is a Alabama transfer, so he does have some of that pedigree to him, and then obviously had himself a really nice year. But I cannot say anything as far as what my actual thoughts are because I've yet to get eyes on him.
Yeah, I think he's I do think that he could be tested pretty well. 6'1", 202 pounds. As you are correct, this year he had almost 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns. Last year, 800 yards, 5 touchdowns in 2022. So I think there's a lot to like with Javon Baker as well. Those are kind of the top, wide receivers for me. Is there anybody that we haven't talked about that you want to hit on?
I know you mentioned Malachi Corley in passing. He's obviously a really interesting guy to look at because I think it's something like 60% of his career targets, not just last year, at or behind the line of scrimmage. So he's someone who is difficult to project because is it a case of he can't do it or is it a case of he just wasn't asked to? I think that he has shown enough in terms of his movement skills when you get him in the open field that he would be able to do more than that. I know some people have kind of felt the opposite way. He's someone that I still like. So I'm really interested to see where he ends up going, because I think he's someone who could develop into much more than what we have seen from him at his time at WKU. So I think other than that, there are not a ton of guys to hit on. I do think Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan from Washington are also going to be two other really good wide receivers that we'd be talking a lot more about if it weren't for Romo Dunze.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Sounds like Jalen Polk might go a lot higher than people were expecting too. So I just think that, I mean, this wide receiver class is deep and there's a lot of different options here. I think there's going to be a lot of different places to talk about with a lot of these wide receivers. So lastly, let's jump over to tight end. It's once again, not nearly anywhere close to as deep as the wide receivers are, but I still think there's a few names. I do know Ben Sinnott from Kansas State has really been gaining a lot of people, and he could go much higher than I think people were expecting him to. Obviously, Brock Bowers sounds like he should still be a top 10. I think at worst, a top 15 pick. Right now, he's projected to go to the Jets at 10. But Ben Sinnott, I think, is another name that I think people should be paying attention to.
Yeah, I was just looking. I was trying to see if there was anything different on FanDuel. No, Sinnott is also the favorite to be the second tight end drafted. Plus 130 on FanDuel, plus 120 on DraftKings. And you have Jatavion Sanders at 3 on both of those. And then Theo Johnson at 4. On both sides as well. Sinnott is someone who I have not gotten eyes on yet either, but I do know he's kind of one of these Senior Bowl risers that a lot of people are talking about. Seems to be one of the more complete tight ends in terms of his ability as a blocker and as a pass catcher. I'm still on Jatavion Sanders. I know there's another guy that didn't test well, but if you hashtag watch the tape, I think he shows much better athleticism than what he tested as. You know, he's a little bit on the smaller side, but I still think he could be a weapon wherever he goes. Theo Johnson, obviously, what else we got to say about him? I think it's another case of the passing offense at Penn State just being absolute doo-doo butter. I think we could see him end up being a better pro than he was in college. Obviously, he does not have a great production profile, no matter how you try and slice it. You know, if you're looking at on a per route basis, just overall raw numbers, didn't really do a ton, but super athletic, just another one of these athletic freaks coming out of Penn State. So he's someone who I'm going to be keeping a close eye on, obviously, for biased reasons, but I think if he lands in the right spot, he could be someone that we're looking at, 3 years down the road, and he's another producer coming out of the Pennsylvania State University.
Ben Sinnott, I mean, he did test pretty well as well. 6'4", 250 pounds, played at K-State, but 98th percentile burst. 94th percentile agility, 96th percentile catch radius. Wasn't some make or miss, but that, I mean, it's tight end. So, especially in college, you don't really see that. But he did have 676 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns last year at K-State. He is 21 years old, will be close to 22 whenever the season starts. But he is somebody that a lot of people are, like I said, we're higher on. But, I don't think there's as much talk about here with this class. I think it's kind of Brock Bowers, and then it's kind of everybody else. I think there's some usable pieces here, but there's no really big standout. One that I did want to mention that some people are really high on that I think could end up being a convert to a tight end that would get people really excited, that has sort of a Darren Waller type upside, and that is 6'6" Johnny Wilson. Do you think that he could end up being somebody that gets converted into a tight end? Because 6'6", 231 pounds, like, you just don't really see wide receivers work out at that in the NFL at that size. Where I think he could be better fit if he were to move over to tight end.
Yeah, I think it's possible. From the little that I have seen, I think like he could play receiver though. Like, I think he has some movement skills, and I think it's why people just want to throw him at tight end because of the size. And you look at it as like, well, if he can move like that as a receiver, you know, just plug him in a tight end. But that's I think that takes like the right landing spot. We've obviously talked about that a bunch so far, but you're going to have to put him in the right situation to where he's able to do that. Like, there's like Darren Waller's don't grow on trees. And that also took a long time. There's obviously some off-field stuff there too, but that wasn't an overnight transition that he made either. So you have to get him in the right spot, and also with the right coaching staff and franchise that's going to be willing to kind of like stick with him through that, because you're not talking about just moving some guy from outside receiver to slot. You're talking about a completely different position, completely different responsibilities. So I think he could, but I'd also like to see him get a shot just at wide receiver as well to start out.
Yeah, I definitely think if he was going to get moved to a tight end, it would have to be like a move tight end. Like, you're not asking him to be an inline blocker or do any of those sorts of things. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. But I definitely think that he could be somebody that you could convert into be more of a traditional type tight end option. But I mean, because everything else like would be, I mean, as a tight end, 4.52 speed, especially at that size, is really good. 98th percentile speed score, 80th percentile burst score. So there's a lot to like there with him, but he is still listed as a wide receiver. So we'll see where he ends up. He was just the other guy that I was kind of, I don't know. I just like, who's the last wide receiver that was that big that you could think of? You just typically don't.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. That would be the only thing that would concern me. We'll see where he ends up. But that being said, I think that that's kind of all the main positions that we wanted to hit on. Just kind of give just a little bit of an overview. Obviously, at this point, everything's been pretty much said about these guys that you're going to say. We're to the point where, okay, let's turn the cards over and figure out where everything lands. And then that's when everything will get, flipped upside down. Then we can really start to dig into, where you should be looking to take these guys, especially whether it's rookie drafts or, redraft. Like I said, we were talking about it when we did the ADP show. Like, we're going to see probably the big three wide receivers go inside the top 20 to 30, probably. And I think that's probably going to be unprecedented. Like, I definitely think Marvin Harrison will go in the second round of even just redraft leagues. I think that's coming. Like, we've gotten this wide receiver fever. And I think Malik Nabers, if he were to wind up with the Chargers, I think same thing. And the only thing that would kill Roma Dunsey if he went to the Giants, I don't think there would be as much excitement for that move just because of it's Daniel Jones. It hasn't really been great.
Yeah, I think what you're looking for is obviously one of these other guys to land with the Chargers. I did put a little sprinkle on Romo Dunsey to be the second wide receiver drafted. I also took Romo Dunsey to be the number 5 overall pick if the Chargers do stay there. I just feel like Odunze is much more of a Harbaugh type of guy. Like, I think you can look at him and expect him to be on the outside and, throw his body around with blocking and everything. So I did sprinkle that in a little bit. And then there were some reports that were coming out that, Nabers might be a little immature, might like to party a little bit. So I did sprinkle that a little bit. I think it was plus 1700 to be pick 5 and then plus 330 to be the second wide receiver taken. But yeah, if one of these other guys lands with the Chargers, they're definitely going to be right up there. And I also think, if somebody like Brian Thomas were to land with Buffalo, I think you would see him move up a lot in ADP. And you're looking at him being top 48, you know, within the first four rounds in redraft leagues. So going to be really exciting. A lot of spots where, like you were saying, a lot of these wide receivers that are being highly touted could land, and could land in great spots as well too. So like you said, man, I'm ready to have the answers to the test, at least for the first portion of the test at this time next week.
Yeah, I also think the one thing that could really change everything is if a team trades up to four and the Cardinals move out, then that kind of changes the trajectory of the wide receivers of where you think they go, because then I think it kind of changes a lot from there. And so, yeah, that will be interesting too, if that happens, if a team like the Vikings move up to four to grab that other quarterback. So we'll see on that. I don't know if the Cardinals would do that, but I mean, I guess maybe it gives them a solid package, especially if you don't have to move down as far. Maybe you move down to eight or nine or something like that, whatever it would take, and still be able to get one of those top three wide receivers. Because I definitely think the Cardinals need to do that, because they are really, I know this wide receiver class is deep, and maybe you could take somebody early second round, or maybe come back up into the, you know, first round and grab a wide receiver. But like, I just, like with Kyler Murray, obviously under the big contract, like I think you have to get him one of these wide receivers, because it's Michael Wilson and Trey McBride. Like that's all they got. Like they need that number one wide receiver.
Don't you dare besmirch Greg Dortch.
I you're right. I do love Greg Dortch. He comes through all the time. No love for Greg Dortch. So, but anyways, we'll see you on the rest of it. I'm really looking forward to watching the NFL draft next week. Best time of the year to be able to watch the draft, check all that out, and see where everybody's going to go. So we'll see how that turns out, see what happens. And like I said, we probably won't do anything next week. No real point with the draft coming Thursday. We normally go live on Thursday nights, and no one wants to listen to us on Thursday night whenever the draft's going on. So we'll be back the following week, and we'll definitely do a post-draft breakdown of all of this. And then shortly after that is redraft season, baby, where it all gets going again. And we start to crank all that out. And I know Cody's really looking forward to doing, you know, redraft rankings and doing all that. It's favorite time. He's been chomping at the bit. I've been holding them all.
Can't wait.
So, we'll get to back with all that. So, football, you know, it's getting closer again. So, after the NFL draft, and I think shortly after that, you have, like, the NFL release schedule, which people get super excited about. So, that'll be the next part of it. So anyways, Everybody hope has a good rest of the week. Have a good weekend, and be sure to watch draft day this weekend, so you can get prepped for the NFL draft and be ready to go. So that's all I gotta say. So have a good rest of the weekend, and we will see you soon.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.